Have you ever looked at your calendar and felt a wave of dread wash over you? That feeling of being trapped in commitments you never truly wanted to make is the silent epidemic of our time. Each yes we utter becomes another brick in a wall that eventually separates us from our own priorities and passions. The people-pleasing habit operates like a slow-draining battery, leaving us depleted while others benefit from our energy. When we constantly prioritize everyone else's needs, we inevitably become exhausted, resentful, and unhappy. The irony is painful. By trying to be helpful to everyone, we ultimately become less effective for anyone, including ourselves. This pattern often begins in childhood, where many learn that being good means putting others first, regardless of personal cost. Missing important deadlines, sacrificing sleep to complete others' projects, watching your own goals slip away while helping acquaintances achieve theirs, these are the hallmarks of chronic people-pleasing. Here's a truth worth remembering. No one will protect your time as vigilantly as you will. Most people naturally prioritize their own needs first, making each of us responsible for ensuring our personal priorities receive attention. Like airline safety instructions that direct you to put on your own oxygen mask before helping others, attending to your own needs first ensures you remain capable of helping others without burning out. Though no is one of the smallest words in English, many of us fear its power so deeply we avoid it or dilute it with excuses and apologies. This reluctance to set boundaries often stems from childhood psychological patterns. The fear of offending others tops our reasons for avoiding no. Seeing someone's furrowed brow after declining triggers immediate physical guilt responses. Yet this offense typically comes from the requester's insecurities rather than your wrongdoing. They're interpreting your boundary as personal rejection. Equally powerful is our aversion to disappointing others. That sinking feeling when someone looks crestfallen can be gut-wrenching. Yet disappointment springs from unmet expectations about your availability or willingness. Unless you promised help, you aren't responsible for their disappointment. Our natural desire to help further complicates matters. Helping releases dopamine, creating a rewarding sensation that can become addictive. While helping is honorable, our resources are limited. The best way to help others long-term is ensuring your needs are met first. Self-esteem fluctuates between confidence and insecurity. During low periods, we devalue ourselves, believing our time and aspirations matter less than others. This distorted perception leads us to consistently prioritize others' needs above our own. Our fundamental desire for acceptance often overrides good judgment, triggering automatic yes responses to requests we should decline. When others emphasize how crucial our help would be, the resulting validation can cloud our decision-making. Fear of missing out, FOMO, drives excessive agreement in both professional and social contexts. We take on additional projects despite being overloaded or commit to events out of anxiety about missing meaningful experiences. Yet this ignores a crucial reality. Time is zero sum. Every yes automatically creates multiple implicit no's to other opportunities, including self-care. The challenge intensifies when facing aggressive requesters who employ manipulation tactics, intimidation, verbal aggression, guilt-tripping, and public shaming to overcome resistance. Recognizing these as calculated tactics rather than genuine reactions empowers us to maintain our boundaries. Be direct and straightforward when saying no. Provide a specific reason to validate your refusal and prevent the requester from taking it personally. "I don't have time because I'm working on a crucial report" works better than simply, "I don't have time." Avoid stalling when you know your answer is no. Delaying only gives false hope, makes you seem indecisive, and wastes everyone's time. Be clear despite the discomfort. If no feels too harsh, use alternative phrasing. Try, "I can't commit to that right now because I'm focused on a high priority project," or, "I'd like to help, but I'm swamped with this project." Take ownership of your decision rather than deflecting. Instead of saying, I can't, when you technically could, express it as a personal choice. I don't want to, followed by a sincere reason. This affirms your authority and builds confidence in prioritizing your needs. Different relationships require different boundary approaches. Extended family often has higher expectations and may use emotional manipulation based on past successes wearing you down. The solution is consistency that establishes new expectations. Saying no to your partner might feel difficult, but clear boundaries actually strengthen relationships by recognizing each other as unique individuals with distinct needs. When you set boundaries, you express your individuality and earn respect. In the workplace, decline requests with genuine grace rather than manufactured excuses. Simply state your position. Thanks for asking me, Sharon. I appreciate your confidence, but I don't want to break away from my own projects. Use I don't instead of I can't to show ownership. When your boss overloads you, communicate your limits to prevent burnout. Discuss your current workload, ask about the new project, suggest reprioritizing existing tasks, or propose postponement. You can effectively decline without saying no by offering alternatives that still achieve your boss's goals. Resisting temptations that distract from our goals is crucial for a fulfilling life. Self-discipline becomes most challenging when we're stressed or emotionally vulnerable, precisely when it matters most. A powerful technique for building self-discipline is using I don't statements rather than I can't. Instead of weakly saying I can't eat donuts, firmly state I don't eat donuts. This linguistic shift transforms the narrative from deprivation to choice, from weakness to strength. Research shows people using I don't are nearly twice as successful at resisting temptation. This approach works broadly. I don't skip gym visits, I don't spend frivolously, or I don't dawdle when there's work to do. Each statement becomes a personal policy defining your character. When surrendering to temptations, you trade long-term fulfillment for momentary gratification. Saying no to yourself acknowledges that the path of least resistance rarely leads to growth. The discomfort of declining immediate pleasure pales compared to the satisfaction of accomplishing meaningful goals. When we say yes, we surrender control of irreplaceable time. We often underestimate commitments. Quick favors expand into hours, and a request to look over a document becomes extensive editing. Multiple small requests accumulate, consuming your most productive hours. Saying no confidently strengthens with practice. Begin with declining optional social events, then progress to refusing requests from authority figures. With practice, you'll become more assertive and others will respect your boundaries. Selective commitment creates space for meaningful yeses. Being choosy about commitments allows you to fully engage with priorities rather than spreading yourself thin, yielding greater impact and deeper satisfaction. Paradoxically, saying no improves relationships. Declining requests that would lead to resentment preserves the goodwill that makes you valuable to others. By mastering this skill, you reclaim not just your time, but your identity, building a life aligned with your priorities rather than others' expectations.